Yeah, good. Yeah, I was hoping maybe David would take it apart or you'd be looking at the wall somewhere. Let me say quickly before I get into the message, I've said this many times, I don't believe in wasting God's time. When I get up here behind this pulpit, I don't believe in just getting up here and rambling and caring. I'm not insinuating anything. I don't believe in wasting God's time, but I do want to say two things quickly. Number one, and I've said this many times, I am amazed at how God orchestrates a service in line of what's going to be preached. Amen. It's got to be God. And this whole service this morning is orchestrated on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to preach on. And then let me say this. I won't say who it was, but a second hand, a member of the church shook my hand and gave me a word of encouragement. I don't know how, I told the individual, I appreciate it. You don't know how much that encouraged me. Just one little word that we might say to somebody that could make the whole day change. And you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, God, you got to help me this morning. That individual gave me one word of encouragement and it really did help me, and I appreciate it. So, and let me say this too, and I'll get into the message. The message I've got this morning, I could spend a whole message on one point. But I'm going to try to get in the whole message this morning and not keep you here for 1:15. But I do want you to understand, I can't do this message justice today because I could use each point for a total message. But I hope it would be a blessing to you today and something might be said that would encourage you in some way. If you would, take your Bibles and open up to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. 139th Psalm. Psalms 139. And let's look at verse number 14. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth well. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. The psalmist David here said, I will praise thee. What I want you to look at today is, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I know what's going through most of our minds right now. Well, boy, I don't think I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't like what I look like. I don't like the way I'm built. I don't like the way I act. I don't like, probably all of us got something about us we don't like. Yeah, me too. But we want to look at that this morning. This is not the message, but this is just the introduction. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's pray. Father, I just want to praise you this morning. And God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be behind this pulpit. And God, I ask you right now, Father, as I've made this message in prayer and I've sought your guidance through the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say anything that I ought not say. I don't want to act any way I ought not act. But God, I want to give them the Word of God and what you have given me. I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, get me out of the way. Hide me and control me through your Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give me the words to say, and God, that somebody might get something out of the message. And I'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about that scripture, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, as we look around here today, and there's probably a couple short, about 5,000 people. But every one of us in here have different body builds, we have different talents, we have different things, and nobody caught that 5,000. But there's, you know, as we think about the bodies, there's some people real tall. There's people 6'7", 6'8", and then there's some people that's 5'8" and 5'9". So people's got different body heights. And we think about this too, and I don't know whether I hit on this or not, but a lot of people's got bodies that are thin. They're just thin. Their bodies are thin. They don't gain weight. And then you've got a lot of people who seem to gain weight and they can't keep it off. So they're the opposite way of a thin body. They've got a body that has a problem maybe with weight a little bit more. And then there's a lot of people who are more physical than others. You've got some people that from the time they're 10, 12, 15 years old, boy, they're into muscle building, they're into body building, they're into keeping their bodies in shape, they do all this stuff, and they're just physically fit because they take care of their bodies in that area. And you got a lot of other people who don't do that. You got a lot of people who run marathons, 10, 15, 20-mile marathons. Their body can take it. Why? It's trained to do what they want it to do. Some people like me probably couldn't run here to the back of the church. But I'm saying that we're different. You got people that lift 300, 400 pounds. They got arms big as somebody's waist. They got bodies on them, but they pump iron or whatever. And then you got people, hit baseballs 300, 400 feet. A lot of people's got physical problems, and a lot of people don't have them. And you know, I know you've probably wondered, well, why am I like, why do I have these physical problems, and nobody else seems to have them like I do? But let me tell you this, everybody's body is different, and everybody's body is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, got some good news and some bad news. This is the Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment. Everybody in this building today is going to die other than the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes us out of here in the rapture of the church. We're going to die somewhere down the road. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, I want you to remember that because we're going to look at it shortly. Now, with that in mind, that's the introduction. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and we'll look at the message. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. The introduction given. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read several more verses than I normally do. Bring us up to speed. Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, sin thou hast no pleasure. And look at what he said. I was prepared a body of me in verse 5. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do the will of God. Now watch where we're going. I'm going to drop down to verse number 10. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes in the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now that verse number 11 talked about when the high priest, they went in once a year in the Holy of Holies and they had to take care of the sins of the people for 1 year. They were covered up for a year. They wasn't cleansed. They were covered up. He had to go back in there every year over and over and over every year. But what I want you to look at, verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. One time. I want to preach on this subject this morning, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never really thought about that a whole lot. I mean, we all been in church a while, but I've never really thought about that. But we want to look at the body of Christ today and what a body he had. First of all, if we think about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's things we want to look at. First of all, let's look at his eyes. Let's look at the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and go over to Proverbs chapter 15. And I'm going to be doing a lot of scripture today. If you want to turn, great. If you don't, I understand. Proverbs chapter 15. as we think about the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, and beholding the evil and the good. May I say to you today, there ain't nobody getting away with anything. There ain't nobody going to get by with anything. The Lord Jesus Christ sees it all. He sees it all. The eyes of the Lord run are in every place. You can't go nowhere and hide that Jesus don't see you. I can't hide nowhere and He don't see me. He sees it all. Amen. Beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. There's a lot I'd like to say to these scriptures. I want to move on. I want to get the message as much as I can. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse number 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. You know, I looked at that scripture and I thought about that thing, and it said, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. It don't matter what we do, or where we go, or how we act, or what we don't matter. You can't hide from God. He sees it all. You can't hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. He sees everything we do. He knows. He sees us when we're in the dark. He sees us in the light. He sees us when we're sleeping. We can't get away from His eyes. He ponders all everything we do. People say, well, I hope He sees the wicked. Hey, He sees the wicked, but He also sees His saints. We need to watch it sometimes because He's watching us. His eyes ain't totally on the lost or the wicked. His eyes is on the saints too. So we find here the ways of the Lord for the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. Look at Jeremiah chapter 16. Well, there's a lot I'd like to say in these scriptures. I do want to get it in if I can. Jeremiah chapter 16. And look at verse number 17. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17, he said, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Boy, you know, you got a lot of people today that a lot of people's not saved and living wicked lives, and they say, boy, God, He don't know nothing about it. He don't see what I'm doing. That ain't what my 1611 King James Bible says. That ain't what it said. He said, the eyes upon all their ways. Not a few of them, not most of them, not a lot of them, but all their ways. He sees it all. And they're not hid from His eyes. They're not hid from His face. He sees everything that goes on. Neither is there iniquity found not in His eyes. So He sees it all. There ain't no way you can get away from Him. So we see the eyes of the Lord. And there's a lot more I could say there, elaborating on that, but let's move on. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, and I, to be honest with you, I never give it a thought either. What about the nose of the Lord? The nose of the Lord. I never give it any thought. Let's look at the nose of the Lord. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 8. Boy, I read this, and it hit a bell. The nose of the Lord, Genesis chapter 8. And look at verse number 20. Genesis 8 and verse 20. And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now watch what he did. He took every clean beast, and took every clean beast, and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. To verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart, not his mind, but his heart. That's where God sees us. He looks at our heart. That's where you got saved. If you're born again, you've got it in your heart. And if you ain't got a new heart, son, you better be checking up. But God said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing that I have done. But what did he say? And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Do you realize that God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't fathom where it's at. Smelt that sweet savor for him. And all through the Old Testament, burnt offerings, pigeons, doves, turtle doves, whatever they were, calves, goats, bulls, whatever it was, God smelled that sweet savor with his nose. God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see his nose. And then not only that, you know, we see his eyes and we see his nose, but let's look at it. What about his mouth? What about the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's look at that for a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 48. The mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 48. Look at verse number 3. This is the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 48, 3. He said, I have declared the former things from the beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Boy, I tell you what, I'd like to sit right there and park for a few minutes, but I just want to hit it and move on. The mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. He said, I have declared the former things from the beginning. He knows it all. He knows from the beginning. He knows it to the end. He knows it in between. He knows everything. And they went forth out of my mouth. Everything he commanded from the beginning, everything he commands to the end of times, when everything's done on this earth and it's gone and burned out, he did it with his mouth. He controlled it. They went forth from my mouth. And I showed them, I did it suddenly, and it came to pass. Why did this all happen, preacher? Because God spoke it in his mouth. Jesus Christ spoke it with his mouth. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Here, Genesis chapter 1. Here, Genesis chapter 1. Here, let's look at verse number 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, that's Jesus. God, that's Jesus, the Almighty God, created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's go on. Look at verse number 3. Well, look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of, that's Jesus, he's the Holy Spirit, God moved upon the face of the waters. That's Jesus. He's the living water. But look at verse 3. And God said, Jesus Christ, God said, let there be light. And there was light. I don't know. A lot of people say, well, I just believe the sun. He just got up there. This is light. This light walking around. No. God said, Jesus said, let there be light. He spoke it out of his mouth. And there was light. Why? Because God said so. Whatever God says, whatever the Lord Jesus Christ says, it's going to come to pass. So we see the light. And then not only that, let's look at verse number, let's go on. Look at verse number 6. And let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And of course, the waters are the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living water. God said, let there be a firmament. And when God said, let there be a firmament, there was. Look at verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Why? Because Jesus said so. He said, let there be a firmament and separate the heavens from the waters, and he did it. It didn't hurt. It was happening. No, it wasn't. God said it, and it happened. Let's go on. Verse number 11. And God said, that the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Bring forth grass. How do we get grass out here? How do you get grass in your yard? How do you get grass in a football field? God said it. Let there be. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. When God says something, it's going to happen. When God tells the devil, that's enough of you, son. You've gone. He's gone. Why? God said it. Man didn't say it. God said it. He said, the waters among the waters. So God said, let there be waters. The heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. You ever thought about why it separated? God said it. He said, I want it separated. Not only that, but look at verse number 11. And God said that the earth bring forth grass, and I just read that. So God said it. All right, look at verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let the people signs and seasons for days and years. What did he say? Let there be lights in the firmament. You ever stop and thought about why the sun's up there, why the stars up there? Why? Because God said it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said it. Let there be light, and there was light. Then. Not a week later, not a day later, not 6 months. But when God said it, it happened. Let there be light. In verse 16, let's drop down. Look at verse number 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God said, let there be waters abundantly. Look out here at all the oceans and all the rivers and all the creeks and all the streams all over the world. How did it get here, preacher? God said to put them there. God done it. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. God did it. He did it all. So we see here in verse number 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Where'd you get all these creatures out here? Where'd you get all these animals, preacher? God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind. All these things that we've talked about so far, God said it, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the mouth of him. So we see the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to turn over to John 19, and we'll move on. John chapter 19. Yeah, boy, I thought about this. I read this thing and about had a conniption. That's a Greek word. It means having a fit. John 19 and verse number 20. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know why there's salvation today? Do you know why that we can go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ? Because he said, it is finished. The Roman soldier didn't say it's finished. The devil certainly didn't say it's finished. But Jesus said, it is finished. And when he said that, the plan of salvation was over. It was signed. It was sealed. It was delivered. It was for everybody that's ever been on this earth. It is finished. How could it be? Because Jesus said, it is finished. The government didn't say it. The preachers didn't say it. The deacons didn't say it. God said it. It is finished. So we see the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we see the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Now I'm going to tell you, you probably have heard, I have heard some men of God could preach the Word of God. Well, I've been out back to Bethel. We've heard men up here in this pulpit and been to revivals, and you have too. And get up, and man, you could hear preachers preach, and they're unbelievable. And I have heard some preachers with some messages that God's hands on them. You know, I want to give you the preacher of preachers. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of communing his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. The mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, could you imagine hearing the Son of God, the Savior of the world, preaching? He was standing there preaching. Could you imagine that? How did he do it? He preached out of his mouth. That's how he done it. The Bible said he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Lord Jesus Christ is a preaching man. All the, we see the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And then not only that, go a little bit further, and let's look at the arm of God. You ever thought about the arm of God? I have given a lot of thought to recently. Let's look at the arm of God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27. We're going to look at the arm of God now. Jeremiah chapter 27. Verse number 5. Now watch what the Bible says here in this King James Bible. Jeremiah 27:5. Talking about the arm of God now. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. How did he do all this? With his outstretched arm. I never thought about the arm of God. I've seen it in here many times. And I've read it many times, but it never hit me. The arm of God. Now, I want you to notice what it said. I have made the earth, the man, the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm. And that word outstretched means extended. In other words, he went over and beyond. He extended himself when he made what he did. How did he do it? With his outstretched arm. And have given it to whom it seemed meet unto me. So we find here the arm of God outstretched. And then the next thing we want to look at is not only his outstretched arm, but his everlasting arm. His everlasting arm. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. His outstretched arm. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and let's look at verse number 27. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. His everlasting arm. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. But I want you to notice his everlasting arm. The Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge. He's forever. He'll never not be. He'll always be. A zillion years in eternity future, he'll still be Jesus. He'll still be God. He'll still be in control. So his everlasting arms are everlasting. Now look at it. And underneath are his everlasting arms. His arms is everlasting. There won't be a time when he can't take care of his children. Now we've got through some hard times in this ungodly world down here, but I'm going to tell you something. His everlasting arms has got control of us. And they're going to take us through this life. They're going to take us through the next life forever and ever and ever and ever. His arms is going to be with us everlasting. They're the arm of God. And not only that, but let's look at the hand of God. I'm going to have to hurry. The hand of God. Look at Isaiah 45. Go back over to Isaiah 45. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm trying to get this in. Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Now we're going to look at the hand of God. The hand of God. First of all, I want to look at the outstretched hand of God. Isaiah 45 and verse number 12. The outstretched hand of God. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. How did he do it? With his hands. Now, you know, he was a carpenter, so he had to use his hands. We know that. But boy, I'm going to tell you, that ain't the only way he used his hands. He said, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even, my hands, he made it with his hands and stretched out to heaven. That word stretched out again means to be extended. He extended the heavens where he wanted to with his hands. He extended them however he wanted to with his hands. And all their hosts have I commanded. How did he do it? He put them up there with his hands. He spoke them into existence. He put them up there with his hands. All the hosts of heaven. Yeah. Now let's look at the hands of security. His hands of security. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at his hands of security. John chapter 10, look at verse number 26. His hands of security. Yeah. Believe ye, but ye believe not because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What do you say here? You know, we're looking at the hands of God and the security. Our security. What do we have in Him? Are we secure in His blood? Are we secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes! He said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now watch it. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We got that security. We're sealed for eternity. We're sealed forever. And we can't lose it. We can't get away from it. It's forever. Why? He said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's impossible to lose your salvation. Well, I know some people claim they saved. Now, we ain't the judge of them. I'm simply saying is, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you're saved today, He's got you in His hand and nobody can get Him out. The devil can't get Him out. The demons of hell can't get Him out. All the smut in this world can't get Him. He's in there and He's got Him. You can't get away from it. His everlasting hand. And we'll be in His hands everlasting for eternity. Not a day or a week or a month or a year or a decade or a millennium, but forever we're in His hands. And look at verse number 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, we're in the hands of the Father. We're in the hands of the Lord Jesus. We're safe. What if I go out and sin? Well, God will take care of that too. But I'm saying we're in God's hands and they can't go anywhere. Boy, there's a lot there I could say, but I need to move on. And I want to try to get it in. So we see the security of God's hands. Now let's look at the miracles of God's hands. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Yeah, the miracles of God's hands. Exodus chapter 3. Yeah, boy, we've been all over the Bible today. Yeah, Exodus chapter 3. Yeah, we see the security of God's hands. Look at verse number 19. Yeah, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, nor by a mighty hand. Now, I'm sure you know where I'm getting at. I don't have time to read all that. But look at verse number 20. Yeah, well, verse 19, the Bible says, I am sure the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by mighty hand. But verse number 21, and I will stretch out my hand. What does that mean? To extend it. Extend it. Go over and above. And smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. What does he say to do? He said, I will stretch out my hand. Miracles. He stretched out his hands, and son, he wiped out that whole crowd. Why? Because he said, I'll stretch out my hand, I'm going to extend my hand, and I'm going to get that whole crowd, and I'm going to cover them up. Miracles. His hand of miracles. And boy, we've probably seen more than one time where he's touched somebody, and the hand of a miracle took care of that, his hand. Not only that, but let's look at the hand, his hand of provision. Back over to Psalms 145. His hand of provision. Boy, I know we all can relate to this. His hand of provision. I'm going to try to hurry up and get this in so I hope it can. God, we think about God's hands and what he can do. The hand of provision. Psalms 145, look at verse number 16. Provision. The Lord is, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Provision. He takes care. He don't only take care of his children. He takes care of the animals out here. So he said, thou openest thine hand and satisfying desire of every living thing. He opens his hand and he gives us a lot of things. He gives us all things that's good. He takes care of us. He gives us provision through his open hand. His open hand. Not only that, but next thing I want to look at is the legs of the Lord Jesus Christ. The legs of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never thought about this either, to be honest with you. But we want to look at the legs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, the legs of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 14, look at verse number 25. verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now you might have some. Let me say this right. I don't care what kind of leg you got. You ain't gonna walk on no water. Hey, you ain't gonna walk on the sea. Now they didn't nobody walk on the sea apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, except Peter. He told him to come to him. So don't go out here now and say, "Well, boy, I got some nice legs on me. I think I'll walk across this river." Don't do it, son. You're going down. I'm saying to you, the Lord Jesus Christ had legs and he could walk on the waters. Didn't even faze him. He walked on the water like we'd walk across this carpet. So the legs of the Lord. Legs of Jesus. Now, the mind of Christ. I'm going to have to hurry. The mind of Christ. First of all, he knows man's nature. Look at John chapter 2. He knows God's man's nature. The mind of Christ. He knows our nature. He knows our nature better than we do. Look at John chapter 2 and verse number 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knows everything about every one of us and everybody in this world. He knows about us. He knows what we are. He knows who we are. He knows how we act. He knows it all. Why? Because his mind knows everything. There ain't nothing he don't know. That's what we see here. For he knows what is in man. So the first thing we look at in the mind of Christ is he knows our nature. And then look, he knows our thoughts. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Boy, this could be scary too, Matthew chapter 9. Boy, I'm glad he's the only one that knows what goes in my mind sometimes. I ain't proud of it. The old devil. The devil works in our minds. Jesus works in our heart. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Now, I'm going to tell you what, son. We can put on a facade all the time in front of our brothers and sisters. We can make a show for everybody we want to. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows our mind. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking of. He knows when we start thinking it. He knows when we stop thinking it. He knows everything that goes in our mind, whether it's filth, whether it's garbage, whether it's something for his glory. He knows it all. He knows our minds. That's the mind of Christ. He knows our mind. Boy, that could be scary, too, I'm going to tell you. Not only does he know our mind, but He knows his children. The mind of Jesus, he knows who's his, whose are his. John chapter 10. I'm going to hurry up. John chapter 10. You got something on the stove at home, hope it don't burn. John chapter 10. I'm going to try to hurry up. He knows who his children are. John chapter 10, look at verse number 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. He's the shepherd. He said, I know my sheep. He knows who his children are. He don't have to wonder and worry and say, well, I don't know whether they're saved or not. I don't know whether they're born again. He knows if we're his children or not. And look at verse number 26. Yeah. But ye believe not because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them. Why? The mind of Christ. He knows every one of his sheep. He knows every one of his kids. He knows every one of his saved. It don't matter who they are, what they are, how they act. He knows they're his. If they're his or not. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to try to hurry up and get this through. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and look at verse number 1. Colossians 2 and verse number 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that later see us, for many have not seen my face in the flesh, and that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches and full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, of Christ Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to tell you something, son. He knows it all. I'll blow him over. No, you ain't. God, Jesus knows it all. It don't matter what it is, he knows it. The mind of Christ. And then let's move on. What about the face of Christ? What about the face of Christ? I'm going to have to hurry. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, turn over to Matthew chapter 17. I'm gonna try to hurry up here. Matthew chapter 17. Somebody says, well, that preacher's preached all day. I missed my dinner. I ain't going back over there. Don't blame the preacher here. Just blame me. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. You know what you're looking at? You know why you can't look at that sun sometimes without sunglasses? You're looking at the face of God. That's why it says his face shone in the face of God. The face of God. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Look at Acts chapter 9. I don't have time to go through all this. I'm just going to read one scripture out of it. Acts chapter 9. And I bet most of you know where I'm headed right now. Acts chapter 9. This is conversion of Paul. Acts chapter 9. I want you to drop down to drop down to verse number 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Well, at least verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what knocked him off his horse? You know what got him straightened out? With the sun face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what done it. Face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'd like to park there for a minute. Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. I don't have time to read all this, but I want to drop down to verse number 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What light shines out of darkness? Hey, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge and the glory of God in the face, woo, in the face of Jesus Christ. Hey, when you see the Son, you're seeing the face of Jesus because it shines like the Son. That's what we just read. Whew, man, I'd like to stay there a while. Yeah, I ain't going to go to these other scriptures. Revelation 22, 3-5 talks about it. Let me go to Revelation 22, and I'll wind her down. Revelation 22. I ain't coming back here no more. He preached too long. I don't apologize for that, but you know, Revelation 22, look at verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We're going to see this face one day. We're going to have the glorified body. We're going to have what we need to see the face of Jesus Christ. As it shines in his brilliance, as it shines with his glory, we're going to see his face. Hallelujah. And then I got some good news. Turn on Philippians chapter 3, and I'm winding her down. Philippians chapter 3. You know, I said before I started the message, you know, talked about as appointed to man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, we look at something now. I hope it'll help us. Philippians chapter 3. Yeah. Look at verse number 21. For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that word glorious, I'll tell you what it means in a minute. According to the working while he is able to subdue all himself. Hey, we're going to get a glorified body one day. We're going to get a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we die. Look what we're going to get. And I close with this. What does glorious mean? It means power. It means majesty. It means magnificent. It means luminous. Hey, we're going to be illuminated. Not like him. It means luminous. And we're going to have honor. We're going to have riches. Hey, we're going to inherit everything he's got. He said we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What's his is going to be ours because of him. It means brilliance and it means noble. The body of Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed.